This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book, and the perfect place for an air show. Ed, tell me, there's an air show coming up here, right? What's this air?
Actually, it's the Sun and Fun Fly-In.
Sun and Fun Fly-In. Oh, that sounds great. And we have the perfect weather, don't we? Isn't it beautiful?
Well, yep, it's perfect.
Perfect. And this is Florida. Oh, the joy to live in Florida. In a little while, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Gabby Wilds and, Dr. Gabby Wild, actually, because she is wild and she is a vet, and it's going to be fun to talk to her. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to be talking to George Newborn. Now, you've all heard his voice so many times. He has a wonderful voice, and he has narrated a new book, and it's going to be fun to talk to him because I really, ever since A Gentleman in Moscow, I fell in love with Audible books, and of course with that was narrated by Nicholas Guy Smith, who was on here a few weeks ago to read Keats for us. And so now, of course, whenever I have a chance, I just love to talk to narrators. And George Newborn is going to be talking about a book that he's narrated called We Begin at the End. It's a new novel by Chris Whitaker. It's a real thriller, suspense thriller, and I'm looking forward to talking to him because, when you think about it, so many of us learn to love books because we were read to when we were children, and reading, you know, it's funny when you read olden day books and there's a lady there, you know, sitting, on her sofa, and she has somebody reading books to her. Well, that's, you know, that was the original Audible books. Just having somebody read books to you, somebody who has a good voice for reading and can take you into a story, and it's so exciting always. And so I'm really happy that he's going to be with us because he played Charlie on Scandal, so you've heard his voice many times. So I'm looking forward to talking to George. Wow. Then my next guest is someone, we all think and dream about having adventures when we're kids, and it is always so wonderful to, you know, dream about it, and not everybody can live their dream, but sometimes if you're very, very, very lucky and you work very hard and you get to the point where you are an expert in your field, you can do something absolutely fantastic, have a fascinating life, and all doing something that you love. And whether it's, whatever you do in life, if you love what you're doing, and that's been said many times, if you love what you're doing, it's not work. You actually, you almost would do it without getting any pay whatsoever, but of course it is nice if you get paid. And so it's fun when I get to talk to people from National Geographic. I love National Geographic, and I just want to tell all of you right from the get-go, if you are ever thinking about giving a gift to someone, a National Geographic book is the best gift, and that's all year around. There is a book, National Geographic has a book for you, that's for sure. And you will just be so happy. And anybody who receives a National Geographic book will be so happy because they are the greatest books in the world. And now I'm so happy to know, we're not yet quite ready. We're getting ready in a minute. Okay, I don't know. I'm just waiting for Dr. Gabby to call us, and we're going to be talking about this wonderful book called Wild Vet Adventures, Saving Animals Around the World. And so we'll see when she gets here, and she's a vet, and maybe she's got a sick animal there, and that comes first for her. So I'm just waiting now. I hope that she'll call in any minute. But meanwhile, I want to talk to you about next Tuesday is my anniversary, and it's going to be Tasha Alexander is going to be my guest for the entire hour. It's really, really exciting. She's been on the program many times, and this time it will be just wonderful to have her here for the anniversary so that we can talk about not just her newest book, which is set in Florence, but all of her books, because reading Tasha Alexander is really like going on a grand tour. In the olden days, in the 1700s and 1800s, people used to go on tours, and they would call it the grand tour, and they would go all over Europe, the continent, and often down to Cairo. This was always one of the big stops on their grand tour, and they would climb the pyramids, and that was their grand tour. Well, Tasha Alexander does that for us. She takes us to all of these places that we've heard about, and nowadays, of course, it's very difficult for any of us to actually travel to these places, but you can travel with Tasha's books, and it's so much fun, and you learn so much as you go along, not just about British history, about also the history of all of the countries that she takes us to. So it's really exciting, and I'm so looking forward to talking to her, because one of the things I love also about Tasha's book, she always talks about the food. And I don't know if I think many of you are like me. We've all been watching the great British cooking show, baking show, and it's just so much fun to watch these people get together and cook up a storm, and that's going to be fun to talk to Tasha about that, about the food that she has in her books. I don't know, are we just about ready? Okay, well, hi, I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper Dr. Gabby Wild and Nat Geo Kids book that is at Oh, it's so beautiful. I'm holding it in my hand. I'm holding it up to the camera because we're on YouTube. And this book is fantastic. Hello, Dr. Gabby. How are you?
Thank God I'm doing wonderfully. How are you doing?
Oh, we can't hear her. We're having a problem.
You can hear me.
Okay, now we can hear you. Okay.
You can hear me. Amazing. How are you doing?
Okay, fantastic. Well, it's so good. I've been having so much fun with this book. It is so beautiful. It's called Wild Vet Adventures, Saving Animals Around the World. And, you know, while you are so beautiful, you are like the Ava Gardner from Mogambo.
So, oh, my goodness. Thank you. I'm very flattered. Thank you.
Well, it's so lovely. You know, just to think, I think I got such a kick out of thinking of you traveling to all these places and doing all these exotic things that so many of us dream about. And that you've been able, with Nat Geo, to put this book together about your wonderful wild adventures. And I mean wild.
Oh, indeed, indeed. And in so many ways you can use the word wild. But it's honestly such a pleasure to be able to provide these stories and be able to bring people on these adventures with me.
Well, this book, of course, Nat Geo always has the greatest photography, so we love that. And I was raised really with the Nat Geo magazines. That was my biggest treat when I was a kid, when those magazines would come. And I love that this one is also framed in yellow, just like the magazine. So tell us about some of your adventures. I'm, you know, you are a veterinarian. And how did you get involved with doing wild animals? So many, you know, vets, you're going to take care of your dogs and cats, but boy, you really took a big step here.
Absolutely. So I've always loved wildlife. It's always been my passion since I was a child, and I started working with them as a kid. And then my first real wildlife adventure was in Thailand when I was 16, when I started working with Asian elephants. And I just continued to do so. And then as I entered university at Cornell, I had the experience with the wildlife clinic there. And then as my professors began to notice that I had this inclination and, if you will, a talent with wildlife medicine, I began to take up opportunities that they said, hey, this place needs assistance, or do you want to join me here? Or, hey, do you want to apply for this grant or this? And I just started to apply to different places and gained more and more experience. And then in veterinary school, quite similar to medical school, you can kind of choose your pathway. And you can either, of course, become a farm animal veterinarian, small animal, equine, and my path was zoo and wildlife medicine. And so I continued to do that, and here we are today.
Wow, and you have had so many adventures, and the book is filled with just delightful little stories about where you've been and what you've done. It's hard to pick out an animal that you don't like in this book. Everyone's so fascinating, and I do love, as I said, that picture at the front where you are there with, you're standing there in your safari clothes, looking so much like Ava Gardner. I just got a kick out of it. So where should we start? I tell the story about your most dangerous adventure.
Certainly. So the one that always pops out in my mind the most is when I was working in Central America with a beautiful jaguar by the name of Pirate. He was a wild guy, never raised in captivity, so he was particularly dangerous. They're all dangerous, whether they're raised in captivity or not. But his situation was I needed to do just a routine dental, which later on we realized I needed to do a root canal procedure on. We had the electricity, thankfully, for our gas anesthesia. And just to let people know, when working with these animals, I usually, such as a jaguar, I have to dart them. And that gives them an injectable anesthetic, so that way we can then approach them. And then I usually intubate them with an endotracheal tube, so I get control of their airways and I can monitor their anesthesia with gas. So we were depending on the electricity to keep that gas running. And unfortunately, the electricity went kaput, and there's a little storm. So, okay, it happened, but we had the prepared mind at this amazing zoo that they had two backup generators. Well, luck would have it, Murphy's Law, and one went out. And then the other went out. And although I did have an IV catheter, we could, of course, give injectable anesthetic. We try to avoid doing so we're not overdosing them. We're not keeping them under longer than necessary. So in his case, I said, let's just move our tail feathers. And I did the procedure as quickly as possible. As we were taking him back to his enclosure, his eyes opened and he was ready to rock and roll. And fortunately, just as we had closed the enclosure, he jumped up and was ready also to rock and roll. So it went smoothly, you know, thankfully for the cat and for all of my team, because it's important as a wildlife vet that, you know, I call it the bus driver. I have to make sure that everybody on that bus gets to the destination safely, whether it's the patient or the zookeeper or the assistant or the technician that's helping. We all need to be safe through that entire procedure. And luckily, we all live to tell the tale, and we all have our fingers to prove it.
Well, as I said, these adventures are so much fun. I love also, tell people how they can tell if a camel is about to spit, because they do spit. Having lived in the Middle East and having some experience with camels, tell us about how you should judge whether or not it is safe to go next to a camel.
So I call it the worry wrinkle, and they're going to start giving you this little wrinkle by their eye where they're like, I don't like you. I really hope you notice that in my face. I'm just not into you. And then you should really try to move out of spitting range.
Sort of like a nasty girl in high school.
They're giving you the stink eye.
Yeah, the stink eye. You know you're in trouble. You better move away, because they can spit quite a distance, too.
Yes, they can.
Oh, you know, and the wonderful thing is always with a Nat Geo book, and especially the you know, ones about animals, there's always something new to find. And like, I never had heard of a hellbender, probably because my mother wouldn't let me say that word. I could never say that
Very
word.
Funny.
So now I can say hellbender. And, you know, I still don't use that word, but maybe now I'll go around and go to hellbender. I don't know. So tell us about a hellbender.
There you go. Now you have your excuse.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, and it would be scary.
Hellbenders are amphibians. And they're beautiful amphibians. And they're obviously multiple species of hellbenders.
Oh, but they don't look so beautiful in this photo. They look sort of scary.
You know, I find them to be so beautiful and so cool. But I'm very biased. I love amphibians. And I mean, to imagine that these are creatures that can literally breathe through their skin, they absorb nutrients through their skin. It's incredible. And their ability to regenerate organs is unlike that of any mammal. So the respect I have for this unique, well, subset of species is really so high.
Well, it is fascinating, and there must be a lot of research going into hellbenders, because their ability to breathe through the skin is fascinating.
Absolutely, and you know, you bring up a really valid point. Part of the beauty of wildlife conservation is knowing that we have all of these unique animals out in the world that can inspire our own medicine, and they can inspire us to live better lives, if not provide the science we might need for things like organ regeneration and better understanding of stem cells. So absolutely, and I remind people frequently that a lot of our greatest innovations have come from observing wildlife, like the airfoil of a plane mimicking that of the wing of a bird, understanding that the butterfly wing is what inspired the creation of Velcro. So all of these things, we need to remember that wildlife isn't just magnificent. Even if they look scary, like the hellbender, they can really inspire so much in terms of scientific advancement. And we call that an ecosystem service that all of these different creatures provide us.
Well, there are so many lessons to be learned from studying animals. And, you know, it's wonderful, all of the work that Nat Geo does and all of the projects that you support to help, you know, people understand the importance of protecting these animals. And one of the animals that I in the book, it's a beautiful picture of a pangolin. Tell us about pangolins and why in the world would anyone want to kill them? They are so cute.
Yeah, I asked myself the same question, but the answer is because of cultural differences. In Asia, they look at it as a delicacy. They also create baskets out of them, so it's a thing of wealth, actually. So it's just trying to change these taboos to be truly taboos in those countries. That is what we need to be able to do and provide the public and be able to teach and educate them.
And make sure that people don't market them and sell them, and you know, and or even tourists going to these countries don't buy anything made from a pangolin.
Yes.
Because they are so adorable. They are just darling. They have such cute faces. I don't know how anyone
they
could kill
are.
One, aren't they? Have you ever had to take care of a sick one? I don't know how you would take care of a sick pangolin.
Sadly, I have had to take care of sick ones. Both actually in a just sad situation where they were harvested and they were, you know, captured for the purpose of illegal trade. And then also just in the sense that I've taken care of them just for routine physical examinations, and they have been healthy. So that's always a good thing.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you have so many wonderful stories in here. I have they done a documentary yet following you around the world with filming all this? Because this is fascinating. I think what you've done here, taking care of these animals and inspiring people and tourists and to go to these places for tourism, just to see the animals and help preserve the animals, I think it's beautiful.
I really appreciate that. No, we have not done a docuseries yet, but God willing, we can do that very soon, because I agree with you. I think people would enjoy coming on the adventure with me with a camera.
Oh, I know they would, because you are delightful. And maybe we could see some acupuncture with an elephant. Is this true? You have done this?
Yes. So I became veterinary acupuncture certified. And in my effort to want to be able to provide multimodal pain management and different types of therapies, unfortunately, we don't always have medications out in the wild. But if I have my needles with me, at least it's an option. And so I started doing it on elephants. And the story goes, I was reaching out to my professor who had taught me, and he himself is from Chinese origin and had charts from ancient elephant acupuncture charts from over 3,000 years ago. And I said, can you just confirm that I'm doing this correctly? And he, of course, was translating it for me. And I said, do you mean to tell me that nobody's been doing this? He goes, yeah, you're the first one in 3,000 years. And so I've been just thrilled to be doing this for, you know, bringing back the ancient art and elephants. And I apply it to all of the species I work with.
Oh, this, I want to see this on film. I think, they have to do a documentary about you, because I think that would be so fascinating. I love elephants. My favorite animal is giraffes. Have you ever taken care of a giraffe? I love giraffes.
Of course I have. They're beautiful.
And
not the easiest anesthesias, because we got to be careful when they fall down.
Yeah.
Mind the neck, but they're just... They're wonderful to work with.
Well, one of the things, of course, when we're talking to people about how they can help, it is important, and I want you to talk about how we can be careful about the clothes we buy and about sustainable fabrics and sustainable materials so that we don't injure animals.
Absolutely. So it's really a global process. And we call it the One Health Mantra, where everything is interconnected. And I'll explain it this way. It's not simply that we don't want to be skinning an animal and calling that unsustainable. We also want to be very cognizant of the fact that how we harvested the materials, what we did with the waste product of those materials, and how much we're going through fast fashion has really been so detrimental on the environment for a variety of reasons, not just the carbon footprint that it's increase because we're always buying, but because we've had so much environmental degradation. That's just one very big aspect that you could say is a direct environmental impact. But the indirect environmental impact are the people who are making these clothes. How are they being treated? Do they have a fair living wage? Are they in unsustainable and unhealthy work environments? How are they going through this? Are they touching toxic materials? If these people feel that they are not living in a well enough society, they're going to depend on the environment more. And that kind of burden further injures the animals and the nature. And so that's why we see more people in these developing nations that are making these clothes for us, which is why they're at a lower price often. We see that they rely more on bushmeat, for example. So this is why we really need to be very thoughtful about where was my clothing made? Who made it?
Well, of course, many people have seen you, of course, on Project Runway, where you did talk about and show some examples, beautiful examples of outfits that are from sustainable fabrics.
Yes, it was such an honor to work with these designers from Project Runway, where I allowed them to use their creative genius to represent 12 different threatened species across the world. And they just said, this is my image of, for example, a Sumatran tiger. And if you haven't seen it through the Instagram or on my website that Althea Harper made and that others made, I highly recommend you take a look. It's just amazing what these designers created. And so I decided that whichever animal they chose to represent, I would further, you know, support that animal and discuss it and raise awareness and funds. And then additionally, I would wear their outfit and only their outfit for the entire month, for each month of that year. So it was a very interesting time, especially since the tiger outfit, you'll notice, didn't have sleeves, and it was November and I was in upstate New York. So that was quite a challenge. And it was made, you know, in a very thin material. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm really cold. But it was all good. It was all good.
And
so
of course, you
look incredible experience.
You look beautiful. And I just want to tell everyone that this book, Wild Vet Adventures, Saving Animals Around the World, with Dr. Gabby Wild, it's a wonderful book. It's, of course, a National Geographic kids book, but it's for the kids in all of us, because everybody will love this. This is the perfect book to give as a gift and to just keep on your coffee table. And I have spent hours just going through through this book, and I with a lot of joy. So I want to thank you so much for being on the program today, Dr. Gabby. And where can people find out more about you and see your what you wore?
Thank you. It's been my honor, so thank you for having me. They can learn more about my charity and our work at GabbyWild.org. If they have social media, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, and the most popular one would be Instagram, and that's dr.gabbywild. And we actually can have a little episode on YouTube, so you can see a little bit about the work besides the beautiful photography in the book. But you'll be able to watch these little videos on our YouTube page.
Well, thank you very much. And it's Gabby with two B's, G-A-B-B-Y.
Two B's.
Gabby Wild. And it's absolutely, the book is fantastic. And I think you are fascinating. And the work that you are doing is really the greatest work, saving animals and just helping us all understand the importance of saving animals. So thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today, Dr. Gabby.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Stay wild.
Okay. I will. Bye. Okay. We'll have a quick commercial, and then we'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with a very special guest, George Newbern. You know his voice. You've heard his voice on. He has played Charlie on ABC's Scandal and Brian McKenzie on Father of the Bride movies. And, of course, now he's a narrator of a wonderful book that many of you have heard about because it's had a big buzz, and it's called We Begin at the End by Chris Whitaker. And I am so happy to welcome you to the program, George. Hi.
How you doing?
Okay. Well, you know, I was going to say, George, I could listen to you read the telephone book, and I wouldn't.
Sweet.
But then I realized that, you know, so many young people don't know what a telephone book is. You realize?
Yeah, that's really funny.
It's true.
That's really funny. That's so true, right?
I have a young girl in my building. She, if I said, get me a telephone book, she'd look at me like, what? What? You know,
yeah.
They've never seen one.
Oh, I know. I think about maps. You know, you look at maps, but the fact that you have your Waze on your car and your GPS, no one looks at a map anymore. You have your phone or your thing on your
crazy. I know, but you could read the telephone book, and you would make it interesting. So,
well, thank you.
Well, it's always fun. I love talking to narrators. Being a narrator, this is really the oldest art, because people have been telling stories forever, and hearing a story told is just, it has such a specialness. It's from really sitting on your mother's lap or your father's lap, and they're reading to you. So there's a connection.
It really is. You know, my heroes was Hal Holbrook, who I knew, and he used to do Mark Twain's one-man show. And Mark Twain is also one of my favorite authors of all time. And he was a genius, clearly, of an American literary genius of telling stories, small, specific stories about a specific time and place, right? And it's just stories, well told. And narration is an art form in and of itself, for sure. It's not like any other kind of acting, because it's you're narrating story without hitting the audience over the head with it. You're giving them enough room to sort of make their own pictures in their mind while serving the author. It's not about the narrator. The narrator is supposed to go away and make the author's work
alive.
Shine,
and with the nuances, yeah. With the nuances, just the right tone, just a little bit of a change of the cadence. It is such a beautiful art, how you can bring a book to life and characters to life. So when you got this book, when you were asked to do this book with We Begin at the End.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think? Were you thrilled with that? Had you already read the book, or did you?
I was thrilled. I was thrilled. And you know, the thing about it is, I've done almost 380 books at this point, and you know, a lot of the books sometimes are not that, you know, some are not well written, some are great, some are not so great, but when you get a really, really good one, it's such a joy. And this was one of those books for sure, because the characters are so finely drawn and beautifully written, and it gives the narrator something to work with. The characters are distinct, and you can give them a hook to characterize. But the problem is, when you get writing that doesn't give you a character that's well drawn enough for you to sort of hang your hat on, and so you're sort of having to tap dance a little bit. I can do that, and it's okay, but it's a lot more work, and it's not as fun, you know.
Well, tell us about the characters here, because you have you really do bring this story to life, and it is a diverse range of characters for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The main character, Walk, is a sheriff deputy, which is really just my voice. But then the other main character is Duchess, and she's a 13-year-old girl with a little brother, a little 7-year-old little brother. Vincent, who's the guy who's in prison, who's coming back from prison after 30 years. The story is basically the relationship between Duchess and the sheriff is trying to sort of help sort of co-parent her, or not even co-parent, parent her to help her survive when her mother dies prematurely. And the whole story in this town that is struggling is about, you know, melancholy and love and loss and sacrifice and what a family is about, and how people can sort of parent each other through life. And this poor 13-year-old girl, you know, the author Chris Whitaker keeps just throwing her curveballs, and that's the mark of a good story, when the lead characters, you know, keep having complications thrown at them and what they have to overcome. And that's how we all identify. You know, our life is just a series of complications. It's just one thing after another, though, isn't it? You know,
it is. And so, in this case, of course, Sheriff Walk has quite a job here to keep up with it, because there are things happening, and the way that you sort of build the momentum and build the suspense also, I think, is just fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. It is a real challenge, honestly, because these books are, it can be gruelingly long to sort of stay in this, because whereas a movie is a 2-hour movie, you sit and it's over. But these, you know, 15-hour books are you know, it's a journey, and you can't give up on it. You have to really stay in it. And I find the better the writing is, the easier it is to do that. And this was definitely one of those books. It was a joy and pain. It was actually painful. Some of these books are painful to do because you're in the story so much that it hurts when these, like this poor 13-year-old girl just can't get a leg up, and I feel for her, you know? So.
Well, the author, Chris Whitaker, is a fascinating writer. Of course, he's British, which I love when British people write stories set in America.
In America, right. Yeah, he did a great job.
Yeah, he did a great job. He captured it. I think he captured the sort of essence of a small town and what, you know, the whole dynamics of it. So did you get to talk to him before or after you?
I didn't get a chance to speak to him. I'd love to speak to him, but, you know, a lot of times they're busy and, you know, you're busy and you don't connect. But occasionally you'll get to connect, you know, online. I usually get a little message here and there, but I would love to meet him, love to talk to him.
Well, he's a fascinating writer. He went through a lot. what a life he's had. And it's wonderful that he's come out with this book, which has really, they've had a great deal of praise for this book.
Good. Well, I hope I did him. I hope I did him justice. You know?
That's what I was going to say. I think you have, because when you have such people as writers like Louise Penny and B.A. Paris, who really are sort of the top of the line suspense writers, and they all have praised this book so much. It's important, and I know that a lot of people will be coming to the book, and they'll. You know, want to know, it's a narrator getting this right. And I think you certainly have, as you said, because
well,
of the range of characters from a 13-year-old to the sheriff to the Vincent, all of these characters.
Right.
And it's funny when you're listening to a book, you know, and it's read by, whether it's a man or a woman, in this case, a man, and there are the voices of you know, sort of the other voices. You forget everything. It's just the story. It has to be gripping, and you have this ability to grip the listener.
Right.
Now, how do you do this? How many days does it take you to do 15 hours? That's a lot of
work.
Well,
it's a 15-hour book, so it takes me, so one hour finish takes me about an hour and 40, hour 45 minutes of sitting down or standing time. Because I have to count in the, you know, mistakes I would make and sound interruptions and taking a break to get a glass of water or whatever. So for an hour finished, I'm about an hour 45 of actual time spent on it. And, you know, it takes me, I can only get 3 hours finished in a day, which takes me probably, let's call it five and a half hours. So it takes me a week to do a 15-hour book, five recording days to do a book.
So, do you play around with the voices, to prepare yourself? How do you prepare yourself to use the different tones?
It depends on how many characters. Yeah, you sketch it out a little bit. You know, you look and you see who the main characters are, and you got to make sure and get the top four or five speakers very clearly drawn. And then you're going to probably have maybe 10 more that are sort of secondary and supporting characters. I'll have a list and I'll say she's older from the South or younger chirpy cheerleader or surfer guy or, you know, something that I can hook myself into that will give me an idea, because I'll have to go back a month later and do corrections. And I have to remember, you know, what people sound like. And sometimes they don't give me a sample and I have to go back in my notes, and it's difficult. But, you basically score it like you would a piece of music. You write out the characters and descriptions and hooks personally for me to remember who's who. That's about it. But that's the greatest amount of work, you know?
Well, you have done a great job with this book. And I know that people, and many times what happens when, it's like what happened when I first listened to A Gentleman in Moscow, and I so enjoyed hearing Nicholas Guy Smith's reading that I went back and I went to Audible, and I just got all of his books. I mean, I even got a book that he read about the Industrial Revolution. I mean, but he made it.
Oh, yeah.
He made it interesting, yeah. And I think people will do the same with you.
Yeah. Oh, that's so. Listen, that is a compliment. I tell you, and I feel that way about Scott Brick, who I love. He's such a good friend, and he's such a great narrator. Yeah, I don't know. That guy just woke up, and he has like this golden voice, and I just want to hear it. I just want to listen to it. You know.
Yeah. So, well, you do get comfortable.
But I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you do get comfortable with a voice when you hear a voice that resonates with you. It might be something just even from your past, something about the voice that you want to hear more.
Right.
And I have a feeling people will do a search on Audible and want to just listen to some more of your narration. Because
thank you. Well, you know, not everybody likes. You can read reviews and you go, "Oh, I hate that narrator," and you're like, "Yeah, that's okay." But then the next person loves you, so you know, you never know.
You never know. But I think you've done a great job with this, and I'm sure once I think Chris Whitaker, once he listens to it, because they actually don't give it to the authors early either. I discovered that I was talking to another author.
Really?
And they hadn't given it to him yet, and he's saying, "I didn't get it yet. I didn't get it." They don't want to release it until the day, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, my job. I really hope the authors are happy with whatever I do because it's their work. You know, it's their writing, and I want to honor that and I don't even want to put a spin on it. I really want to elevate what the author's done and have the person who's driving or in the car or folding laundry or. You know, doing whatever they're doing on a walk. I want to go away and I want to lift up the good writing that these authors do. That's my job, you know.
Well, you do it perfectly. And of course, we always look forward to seeing you in some television program. Hopefully, you know, some.
Thank you so much.
They'll start doing some more television again because we're getting tired of reruns.
Yes.
You know, there's a limit.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's starting back. I'm starting to get some meetings, so hopefully soon.
Yeah,
it's
hopefully
good.
They'll start because we want to see you back. I know, I think the last one I saw you on was Bull, right? You were on Bull.
Oh my gosh, that was a long time ago.
The reruns. You know, what can I know? We're watching reruns until we're going crazy. But do tell me, what was it like to work with Steve Martin? Because
Fantastic. He's a great, he's such a wonderful, smart, and funny man. And Martin Short is a blast, crazy fun. And Kim and Kieran and all the folks from that show, just really, they're still good friends to this day. We had a good time doing the third. We did a Father of the Bride 3-ish, which was a little thing for charity for World Central Kitchen. And I think we had something like 15 million views. So that was a big, big success to raise money for them, and that was super fun. We shot that on our cameras at home, and we did a big Zoom call. I don't know if you saw it. It's on YouTube. You can go check it out, but it's fun.
Well, I didn't see it yet, but I will check it out because it sounds like fun. And of course, everybody loves the Father of the Bride movie.
Love the Bride.
I thought that was so good. I thought it was one of Diane Keaton's best films. It's just it's a hoot
She's
to
hilarious.
Watch.
She is so hilarious. My gosh.
Yeah, I love her. And so you know, how are things? And do you actually live in Hollywood? Or you're out of Hollywood.
Yeah, I live in Los Angeles.
So we
actually spend time up a little bit north. We have a place a little north of Santa Barbara.
Are they starting
too,
to film soon? Because I'm getting so
they
tired.
Are.
Oh, gosh.
They are.
You know, I had Lee Child on here.
40%.
Oh, 40%. Okay, good. Because Lee Child was on the program for his birthday. And, you know, they started with Jack Reacher. They were ready to, you know, do everything, get Jack Reacher, you know.
Yeah.
And then everything just got... Mm. Oh, like crazy.
Yep. Stop. I know. Crazy.
But it's nice.
But they're back now. They're starting to come back. Hopefully soon.
Good. And it's nice, at least for you. You know, you can narrate. That's a wonderful thing. So.
Exactly. Thank God. Yeah. Thank God I've been busy through this.
Through all of this, because it's terrible for those actors who are like, there's no work. I can't imagine, you know, everything's always so bustling in Hollywood, and now...
I know.
This has been a crazy
time. It's going to come back bigger, Bigger and better. Bigger and better.
I hope so, because we need some new product, I tell you. I don't know. Probably even you might be tired of reruns already.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, you ready?
I'm ready. Thank you.
Well, I think you've done a great job with this. Do you have a website where people can find out more about you, or where's the best place?
You know what? I just I'm on Instagram. Instagram at George Newbern, and Twitter at George Newbern, and those are where I am outside in the social media world.
Okay. So, well, they can find out more about you, and they can get this book from, it's just always wonderful to find a new book and a new author that, is interesting. And I'm sure that people will enjoy your narration of this wonderful book. And thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper. It's a joy.
Thank you so much.
You know, I love seeing you on television. And so everybody, you can get We Begin at the End, and it's by Chris Whitaker, but it's narrated by George Newbern, and which is my favorite. George is my favorite name. When I was a kid, I named everything George. My dog, my cats.
Thank you. I like that. It's a good name. Thank you.
It's a great name, George. It's a joy to talk to you. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Okay. We begin at the end. Okay. That is fascinating. What? You know, I love all these British people who write books about America. So then we can go to England and write books about England. That's nice, isn't it? And speaking of England, next week, Tasha Alexander is going to be on for the entire hour. I'm so excited about that. And of course, as I mentioned, we're waiting to hear when Jack Reacher is going to be filming again, because that's going to be quite a thrill to see Jack Reacher, the real Jack Reacher, as Lee Child would say, tall Jack Reacher, because when he wrote the books, of course, he wrote the books thinking of himself as Jack Reacher, tall, very tall, 6 foot four, over 6 foot four, blue eyes, and and then in the movies, of course, Tom Cruise saw himself as Jack Reacher, but it was nice that this is an example of why you need a good, and I didn't mention this, I want to mention why you need a good intellectual property lawyer. When you one day sign a contract, make sure that everything in there is just the way you want it, not the way your publisher wants it, not the way your agent wants it, the way you want it, because you are the only one, and your lawyer is the only one who is looking out for you, because Lee Child must have had the most wonderful lawyer in the world. He was able to get back from Tom Cruise the rights to take Jack Reacher back. This is not done. This is very rare. You don't, once you give a character away, you lose that character. As an author, you lose that character. It's almost unheard of that you ever can get your character back. Once that character, whoever you created, you sell it to a production company, a publicist, a publisher, anybody, you never have that character. It's never yours again. But boy, oh boy, I think Lee Child must be a genius, absolute genius, because he didn't know when he wrote those books, when he started those books so many years ago, he had no idea there would one day be streaming video. He had no idea when he sold the rights to Tom Cruise that there would be streaming video. But whoa, he had the right contract so he could get it back. And now he is the producer of the Jack Reacher streaming. It's going to be streaming online, and it's going to go for years and years and make an absolute fortune, because Lee Child had the right intellectual property lawyer, and you need one too. And the best one, I just love him, and he's just so wonderful. Whenever he comes on from Larson & Larson, Bill Larson knows his work, and this is the kind of lawyer you need. You need an intellectual property lawyer who is so into the details, into every little, and I'm talking every little word, one little preposition. A preposition can change your life. You cannot believe it, but it happens. I am here to tell you, a preposition can change your life, and you need an expert. And that's Bill Larson of Larson & Larson. And always, always make sure, never, oh, please, please, people, don't send out your material and don't sign any contract because you don't know what could be in the future. In the future, we'll have 3D movies. We'll have whatever, whatever. We'll have, you know, people walking around in your house. You know, the characters walking around in your house. You don't know. And an intellectual property lawyer can really plan for every contingency under the sun and some maybe out of this universe, because we might one day be out of this universe. We don't know what the heck's happening in this world. But this is a warning to all of you. Don't sign anything without an intellectual property lawyer. And also, please don't put anything on social media that you are going to regret, because this has happened too. And anyway, this has been a great day because I have really enjoyed so much. I've enjoyed this Wild Vet Adventures. You know, when you're looking at, when you're thinking about all the people that you cannot visit right now, you can't go to see them, you can't, sending them a book, a Nat Geo book, is such an act of kindness, because there's always a book that they will enjoy. And a book like this, The Wild Vet Adventures, is not just for kids. I think any adult would love this book to have it on their table next to the television and pick it up and just look up these animals and read these stories. And Dr. Gabby Wild is just beautiful. And you have to check it out on the reruns of Project Runway. And I think it's probably on YouTube or something. So you can see the clothes that were designed based on the on animals. And I love the butterfly dress. That's an absolutely fantastic dress. So, you know, this is what is so wonderful. You don't know what you can do. Here she was. She was going to be a simple vet, probably thinking she's going to take care of dogs and cats. And the next thing she knows, she's got her hand down the throat of a cheetah. This is what life is so exciting. You don't know what's going to happen, but you should prepare for it and do a lot of things. One thing about being a writer, if you want to be a really good writer, do a lot, read a lot, and do a lot. Because the more you do, the more you can put into your books, so you can have a lot of depth to your books and depth to your writing. And that's what you want. You want to be, you want your writing to be full. You want to capture the reader. And what? How can you do it? I don't know. You have to start writing, huh? Because one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, 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 very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or perhaps, a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I hope for Carol J. Perry. But remember, it will only happen if you start writing. So start today. And meanwhile, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. I know we had a few problems at the beginning. She had some problems with her phone, but it was great to talk to Dr. Gabby Wild, because I'm wild about her. I'm wild about this book, Wild Vet Adventures. Anyway, I said something nice, and Ed saluted me, and I saluted him, because I should have been a general. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. This is Florida. It's gorgeous. It's going to be 81 degrees, 82 degrees today. Everybody, be happy. Bye-bye. Bye.